Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Let's just pray, guys. We're talking about the Eternal King this morning. We're in the book of John. And I'm reading through John. Anyone else? I'm loving it, going through it again, just unpackaging these scriptures again. But this Eternal King moment is the understanding of the I am statements in the book of John. Time and time again, Jesus declares, I am, I am. And I was reading the Gospels before, and I was reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I was like, why did they crucify him? Why did they get so angry at these declarations? At what point did Jesus make him so angry? What was the declaration that they would say, you are so blasphemous, we're crucifying you? And in Mark, you see him as the suffering servant. In Luke, you see him as this beautiful one that comes alongside sinners. But when you read the book of John, John is much later than those Gospels. And what he's saying is, he is not just a good man. He is not just a teacher. He is not just the Messiah. He was and is the Son of God. So when you read it, you've got to read these beautiful declarations of who he is. And I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to pray. Do you see him as the Son of God? When you're going through a situation, who stands before you, a man or God? I'm going through a health situation, and when I'm praying, I am imagining the glorified Christ standing before me and saying, Katie, I am enough for this situation. Anyone else? When I'm praying for my family, I'm getting a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, not just my best friend, but the all-powerful God that he is, was, and has ever been. So this morning, Father, we just pray that you would remove the scales from our eyes, that we wouldn't just see you in your human form, which you came, but we would see you as the Eternal King. Lord, any questions in our heart, are you strong enough to fix my family? Let us hear that reverberating statement in John, I am. Are you strong enough to heal me of cancer? Yes, I am. We thank you, Father, as we go through these statements, there would be a presence of the Holy Spirit to take those scales from our eyes and see a fresh revelation of Christ in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, guys. Amen. Have a seat. Let's go. Okay, let's open up the book of John if you've got your Bible or whatever, you know, Android, whatever you use. We're going to have a look at this book, but what I loved Pastor Al's video last week, anyone that really just set us up, that the really strong essence of the book of John is that he is the Son of God. When some translations say miracles, like Al said, the better way to say it is signs. Everything in this book is a sign pointing to this guy was the Son of God. Not just a good man, not just a rabbi, not just a teacher. Some religions believe him to be that. The crux of our Christianity is he's not just that, he is the Son of God. And that declaration has to come out of our mouth when we're talking to people and they say, I can't overcome sickness. You can introduce them to the one who created them, the Son of God. So we've got this beautiful moment. Now, I loved how Al did last week where it says, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That, and when you're looking at the Gospel of John, you're really pointing back to the Old Testament text. And from the beginning, he says, John 1, in the beginning, he's actually replacing Genesis. He's putting Jesus back in the Genesis story. He's saying, this guy didn't just turn up as a baby, guys. This guy just wasn't born and then he decided to give it a go. This guy is eternal King of Kings. And the wrestle on the earth was the revelation of their eyes to see him as he actually was. The wrestle on the earth was the church to actually realize that the one that they're praying to, the answer to everything is standing right next to them in human form. And so what he does is these I am statements, these statements of saying almost like a declaration. So in Exodus 3, turn to Exodus 3, 14 to 15. We're going to start there. Sometimes as Western people, we read this scripture and we're like, okay, these I am statements are just him describing himself. That's not what it is. In Exodus 3, 14 to 15, it says this. This is the burning bush moment. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is the name of God moment. This is the Yahweh moment. This is the moment that all the Old Testament call back to as a name of God moment. It says, this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This isn't just a, I am who I am as in a, this is me. This is a declaration of I am the most powerful. I am the all-powerful God. I am the creator. It's got more of a sound to it than what we read into it. God said also to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. It's quite amazing that in the Jewish faith, when you're not actually allowed to say this name out loud because it's so holy. Like Yahweh. You say Jehovah, you say anything else, but to say this name out loud declares not only his name, but the power that is behind that name. So they don't say it. Quite crazy. Then 3 centuries later, this guy turns up, born in a manger, and starts saying the exact same word and applying it to himself. And the church went crazy. The Pharisees went crazy. What is he doing? Let me show you in John 13, 19. This is Jesus. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. The exact, what is he doing? Everyone's going, oh my gosh, he just put himself back in the burning bush moment. He just basically said, the God we desperately needed, the God when we're in slavery, the God when we needed a God to turn up, the God that revealed himself in the burning bush, the God that came and was present with us, now he is present with us in human form. Some of you this morning need to get a fresh revelation that he is with you. He is with you. What a God, what am I going to do with my family? Katie, I am. God, what am I going to do with my health issues? I am. Some of you this morning need to see a fresh revelation of the power of God because he is God with us. John 8, 58. This is how powerful this name is. They're having an argument. Don't you love how the Bible show the true? It's not like the censored version of the disciples. It's like truly what happened. And in John 8, 58, they're basically saying how good Abraham is. And they're like, Abraham's amazing. Abraham's so great. With the Son of God standing in the midst. That's awkward, right? I didn't tell this story in the 8:30. I'm going to tell this story. My uncle is a photographer, Ken Duncan. He does galleries and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, he was at his own gallery opening. And he stood next to this poor man who was trying to impress a girl. And he was standing in front of his photo that he took. And the man was like, oh, yeah, you can see how Ken has taken the light and done this. And, this is how, and was explaining to the girl what Ken had done in this photo. And Ken is standing there listening to this. And he's like, oh, Ken would have actually done the shutter of this. And Ken would have done that. And Ken, he didn't say anything. Anyway, he turned and he said, I don't think that would have been right. And he's like, no, he did do that. He did. And he was correcting Ken who took the photo. Awkward moment. Anyway, so Ken's standing there and he's like, all right, I'm just going to drop the bomb. And he said, so what do you do? And Ken said, I'm Ken Duncan. I took the photo. And the guy was like, oh my gosh. The girl like walked away. I was like, so it's that moment for the church in the New Testament, the Pharisees. They're having conversations around Jesus, not realizing that the God himself is standing with their undercover boss. It's undercover boss. They're having that whinge moment of undercover boss. Everyone watch that show and you're like, don't say it. It's the guy with the hat and the mustache. It's him. Like, it's that moment. This awkward, when you're reading these texts, you're like, oh, please, Lord. But how many of us are having that same conversation? Are you powerful enough to do this? Are you powerful enough? And he's standing right beside you saying, I am. I'm going to do it. So in John 8, 58, they're having this beautiful moment about Abraham. It says, very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. He gets so frustrated by the end of it. He's like, yep, I am actually greater than Abraham. And they're like, no. And then he stops and he says, before Abraham was born, I am. This declaration, this is what happens. They picked up stones to stone him. It was so blasphemous. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. This morning we're going to talk about these beautiful declarations, and there's seven I am declarations in this text. I'm not going to get through all of them, but when you read them, they are the facets of Christ. He's revealing himself. You know, in the Old Testament where they say Jehovah Jireh and all the names of God, and it kind of reveals who God is. This is what the I am statements are doing for Christ. It's saying he is the true vine. He is the shepherd. And each and every one of them is an intimate relationship, not an ethereal God. He's not a thought pattern, folks. He's not an addition. He's not an add-on. He's standing right beside you. Each and every one of them is an intimate, personal God that will never leave you nor forsake you. This intimate. So let's jump in. Number one, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. We'll read from 30 to 35. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Don't you love this? Challenging him. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. It's always awkward when you're telling Jesus what happened in the Old Testament. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you. This very truly is kind of like, listen up. It's like, you're not listening to me. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, this is just after he fed the 5,000. So they're thinking, great, we're going to get a big lunch again. They're thinking fish and loaves for everybody. They're thinking, great, we get 12 baskets. They're thinking natural. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. And he's like, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Can I tell you, church, if you are spiritually anemic, he is the bread of life. If you are starving in your spiritual world, don't go to all these other things. Let me tell you, sit at his feet. Get in the word of God. Anyone felt that moment where you're anemic spiritually? Anyone felt that moment where you're like, I'm reacting really badly here. What's coming out of my mouth isn't great. My body isn't functioning at full capacity. I need the bread of life. Some of you this morning need to get back to the Word of God and eat it like it's bread. It will sustain you. It will keep you going. This is the direct replacement of the manna in the Old Testament. The direct replacement of the miracle of manna in the Old Testament. He's saying, don't look back at what I did back there. Don't look back and say, oh, we wish you would provide manna now. We wish God would provide manna like he did back then. He said, I am that miracle in your life and I'm standing right here. Sometimes we're looking back, church, saying, oh, God did this and God did that. And he's saying, what am I doing in your life right now? We're glorifying the past, and we've got to be present and see what God is doing in the future. See, anyone else? It's like this sense of, yes, God has done incredible things, but let me tell you, Jesus Christ, prepare the way for the Lord is our thing this year. God is going to do great things today and greater things ahead. And this is what he's changing and shifting. He's like, stop looking back to manna for something, a miracle thing. The miracle stands in your midst right now. Second thing, I am the light of the world is John 8:12. Now, I'm just going to do a little bit of context here because this is a hard sort of read because your Bible flips around. I'm going to start in John 7:37-39. The reason I'm doing that, just a little Bible teaching here. In your text, the Bible editor who did this a long, long time ago decided to put a story in the middle of the text. And John's sitting in heaven going, what are you doing? So your Bible, that sinful woman being stoned story, is an addition to your text. So when you read it, it's supposed to be in there, but it's kind of not, it's out of whack with the story. Let me show you. In John 7:37-39, on the last and greatest day of the festival, that's the location, okay? Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Now let me give you a preview of this. Just before in John 7, Jesus told the disciples that he didn't want to go to the festival, which is my favorite part of Jesus. If you think Jesus is really boring, read the Gospels again. The disciples are like, let's go to the Jewish festival. It's amazing. Let's go and hang out with all the people. Jesus goes, oh, I'm not coming. And you're like, Jesus, you need to come. If you're going to build your Instagram followers, you need to be there. Everybody's going to be there. What sort of leader doesn't go to a festival and start promoting? Jesus is like, nah, I'm not into it. He's an introvert. No, joking. And he's like, nah, I'm not into it. I'm not going. Anyway, they go to the festival. It's the festival. It's got water. We'll talk about the water festival and the light festival. And it says in the scripture this beautiful statement where Jesus goes in secret. This is undercover boss. This is let me see what's happening there without being the center of attention. And this is where we start. On the last and greatest day of the festival. The last and greatest day of the festival was the water section. And what happened in this water section was they would be pouring water like out in the wilderness where we struck the rock and we poured water. And again, we're remembering what God did back then and hoping that he would turn up today. And when we're doing this moment, Jesus stands up in the middle. This is not the introvert moment. He stands up in the middle of the festival. Imagine someone standing up in the middle of here and saying this, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. He's basically saying you're looking for the wrong thing for your answer. Can I ask you this morning, are you finding answers in the wrong thing? And you're wondering why they're not working. The only one that can bring that is Jesus Christ himself. And he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, I love John, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Then we sit in this I am declaration. So we're still at the festival. When Jesus spoke again in 8:12 to the people, he said this. Now, let me explain this. The second part of the festival, the water festival was the beginning. The second part of the festival was a light festival. And in this light festival, they had candelabras everywhere, all around. And they would light them and remember the time where the pillar of fire and the Spirit of God led them in the wilderness. And they're rejoicing and mourning and kind of going, God, come back to us. God, be with us. And then they snuff out all the lights because they thought they were in spiritual darkness. It was a significant moment where they were all mourning because God's not with us. And Jesus Christ himself is standing right there. It's a sad day when the church has Jesus in their midst and they miss him because of their traditions. That's a sad day, folks. We don't want that. We don't want our traditions. Oh, we're mourning because Jesus is not here and he's up the back going, I'm here. You're not looking at me or listening to me. Maybe in your life this morning, God is saying, Jesus is saying, I'm here. Stop. Listen to me. So in this moment of darkness where they're mourning the darkness, they're like, God's not with us. God's not with us. You can imagine Jesus just going, Lord, I can't do these people anymore. God's not with us. He's not with us. We're in darkness. And then he says this. Imagine the disciples who didn't know he was there too. I am, declaration of God, the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He's saying, you're not, come to me, but will have the light of life. Some of you this morning feel like you're in darkness and the light of life is coming to you. If you haven't given your life to this light, let me tell you, it will change your life forever. It will turn a light on in those dark, deep areas where you cannot work out how to get out of that sin, you cannot work out how to fix that problem. And all of a sudden, the light himself, Jesus Christ, comes in and turns a light on and you see the answer. Some of us are walking in darkness and you need that light this morning. And if that's you, I'm gonna give you an opportunity at the end of the service, but do not walk in darkness. But let me tell you, church, do not walk in darkness as a church. What does that mean? Do not recognize that the light is with us everywhere we go. When you walk into a room, you light that place up because Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is within you. You remember that song, Let His Light Shine? Some of you need to get that back in you. When you walk into a room, you light it up for the glory of Christ. So that's a second. Third I am statement is I am the door of the sheep, John 10. Can you see how John's kind of spacing them out and revealing these beautiful I am statements? John 10, 7 to 10 says this. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. This is beautiful. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. He's talking to the Pharisees in the middle of the Pharisees, calling them thieves and robbers. Jesus didn't really care about making friends and influencing people, let me tell you. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. Now, I know we use this for Satan, but in this context, he's talking about the Pharisees. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let me explain what the door of the sheep means. In that time, as a shepherd, you're in the wilderness and you don't have pens to put your sheep in at night. So what you would do is you would find a cave and you would put your sheep in that cave and you would stand at the door of that cave and be the door between them and the enemies, or the predators. And so what he's saying in this moment is, I'm the one who protects you. I am the one. If you're looking for someone else to protect you, you're looking for someone else to do that. He's saying, I am the one who protects you. Maybe church this morning, that's you. You need to know that he comes into your life to keep you safe. He's not a horrible God. Some people that preach the gospel, there's a beautiful man that preaches the gospel that I walk past in the city, and it's a really nasty God that I can hear. Yeah, God hates you and you need to repent. And I'm like, God bless you. Wow. And I'm, you know, God bless him, whatever that means. But let me tell you, he comes to protect you. When he says, come to me, to give your life to me, it's not giving up something. It's saying, come into my protection. The world out there is going to eat you apart. Come in so I can take care of you. Come in so I can heal you. Come in so I can and be your shepherd. Fourthly, I am the good shepherd, John 10. You can go through that. That relates to Psalm 23. Remember, everyone, we go back to the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. This morning, he guides us. In number 5, I am the resurrection and the life. This is my favorite. They're all my favorite. But this is my favorite. This is the moment where Martha is having a whinge at Jesus because he was late. Anyone had that moment where you're like, what are you doing, Lord? Martha in this moment has been waiting for Jesus to turn up. And let me tell you, from all my years of living as a Christian, Jesus doesn't have a watch. I don't know what God time is on. It does not exist. Anyone else? I'm like, you're going to do this now, right? You've got 5 seconds. You've got to do this now. And he's like, well, I don't have a watch. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm beyond time, Katie. He keeps saying to me, I'm beyond time. Stop locking me in. And I'm like, well, I'm in time. And it's really frustrating. But there's this beautiful moment where Martha says to Jesus, you aren't on time. And let me tell you the answer. In John 11, 21 to 25, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. She still had that ounce of faith. Can I tell you, discouragement is hard to overcome. But this is the answer. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha went straight to theology. Straight to theology. Anyone? I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Again, she's not thinking the promise is here. She's thinking the promise is far off. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm standing before you. I'm here. Some of you are thinking God's going to do it later and, oh God, I'm going to do it. Let me tell you, he's standing before you and he's saying, it's here and now. I am the resurrection and the life. He's like, Martha, get on the page. Deal with your disappointment, lady. I understand that, but I'm about to do something great. Are you ready? And there's a shift in her. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He actually challenges her. Do you believe that I can raise your brother from the dead? Imagine that moment. I'm asking you this morning, do you believe he can change your family? Do you believe he can heal you from cancer? Do you believe that the resurrection of the life is in you and alive and active in your life? When I got my surgery done, I got half a healing. So I couldn't feel my face after my tumor was removed and for 8 months. And I was good. I was preaching. I was fine. Everything was fine. And I was quite happy with that. And God said to me, are you done? I'm like, no, that's really good. I'm good, Lord. Thank you so much for half a healing. No, that's not. I was like, no, I'm actually quite good. I can move. Everything's fine. Anyway, I was in C3 SYD Parramatta and I felt this overwhelming thing. That's not enough. Go again. And to be honest, I was discouraged because it had taken 8 months. I was Martha. You should have been there 8 months ago. Where were you? TikTok. And I said, I don't know. I'm good, thank you. And he said, will you go again to believe for full recovery of your face? As I'm thinking this through, Leon Chameleon, who was the pastor at Parramatta at the time, says, someone has an ear infection and needs full healing. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. Someone has an ear. And Kerry was like, I think that's you. And so I went down the front and I was like, oh yeah, look, I've had prayers. It's not going to happen. But then I had this revelation of who stands before me. And half is not him. Half is not him. And so Leon put his hands on my face and complete healing. I felt all five fingers. I felt complete healing. It was like, you know, when your dead arm and your arm comes alive and it was like shooting through my face. That is the I am. That is the one that we serve. That's him. And now I say to myself, I could have remained in discouragement. I could have been this. And then I saw him again before me saying, Katie, I am the one who heals you. Is that for you this morning? So lastly, and I'll get the band to come up. There's two more. There is I am the way, the truth and life, which I'm going to go through. I am the true vine, which talks about Israel. This one I want to talk about is I am the way, the truth and life, John 14:5-9. Let's read it. Who loves Thomas in the Bible? I know we bag Thomas out, but Thomas is saying what I'm thinking. I'm just saying. I'm that sort of person where somebody says, let's go on a trip. And I'm like, and where would that trip be? And what time are we going? And how long are we? I like details. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? He's asking the question. He's a little confused, our poor Thomas. Jesus answered. Thomas is worried about what's happening. He's worried about his future. He's worried about, I don't understand. He's worried about in his own human mind, I can't see what God's doing. I can't see where you're going. Anyone there this morning? You're worried about, God, just show me where you're going. Show me what you're doing. It's not an answer that you seek. It's a person and his name's Jesus Christ. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This morning, he is the way, the truth, and the life, church. If you are lost in any area, if your finances or your family or you can't get direction or you feel like things aren't going the way you thought, set your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the way. But let me tell you one more thing. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've come into this church and you're lost, you've come in to this church and you've tried everything else. You've tried everything else to save, tried everything else to get this feeling of wholeness back in your life. You've tried everything else. Let me tell you, there's only one way that's going to happen, and his name is Jesus Christ, who came, the Son of God, and died on a cross for you so that you would have eternal life. This Son of God didn't just stay in heaven and say, good luck, humanity. He came down, took on a body, died on a cross. Let me tell you about this cross moment. He could have done everything. He could have done an Iron Man and just gone, pew, pew, pew. Don't you love that? Did you, that's like Star Wars more. He could have done that when he was on that cross. He could have done a Son of God moment and got off. But you were on his mind. And he took that cross. Where creation itself darkened. That's why it went black, folks. Because the Son of God who created heaven and earth died. That black moment is so significant in the text where he gave up his spirit because all of creation was like, he did it. But this morning, if you feel like that Jesus, you need Jesus in your life, you need to accept what he did on the cross. And he's here. Just close your eyes, guys. Thank you, Father. If that's you and you want to say yes to what he did, It's that moment where you're accepting Him as Lord and Savior. You're saying, yes, I do believe that You died on that cross. I do believe that You set me free from sin. I do believe that You've given me eternal life. If that's you this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus or asked Him into your heart, then I want you to put up your hand now. Be bold, be confident. This is not a moment to shy away from. Jesus Christ is standing before you saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, I know there's a wrestle in your heart and you're probably thinking, no, she's going to embarrass me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to get you to put up your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Who is it this morning? Christians, pray. Who is it this morning? Maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you've got discouraged like Martha and you've walked away from God, and this is your moment to come back to Him and dedicate your life to Him afresh. If that's you, then I want you to put up your hand also. Beautiful. Thank You, God. Anyone? Thank You. Anyone else? This is your moment. He said, the Bible says, I stand at the door and I knock. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Anyone else? Thank You, Father. Okay, let's pray this prayer, church. And if you raised your hand, you pray this prayer and we'll pray it with you as a family. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give You my life. I give You my heart this morning. I accept You as Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin. Wash me clean. Set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give that the person a hand. Stand to your feet, guys. Just stand up. I'm just going to do one more scripture. On your feet. I know we've been up and down, up and down, up and down. One more scripture. John 18, 1 to 14. On the resurrection and there's Easter Friday. There's this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is for you. There's a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane where the soldiers come to take Jesus away. And let me read to you what happens. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to Him, came forward and said to them, they're like, where are you? Who's the Jesus? He says, whom do you seek? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth, His humanity name. They didn't say Jesus Christ, they said Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am He. Judas, who betrayed Him, was standing with Him. When Jesus said to them, I am He, they drew back and fell to the ground. It was a drop the mic moment. And what is He about to do? He says, I am He, drops the mic, and then He goes and dies on a cross. Some of you this morning need to see a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that you? Some of you this morning need to see Him over your healing, over your family, over your finances, over that. And if that's you, let's just raise our hands one more time. Father, we just thank You right now that our scales of our eyes would be removed and we would see You in Your fullness. That when You say, I am sufficient for You, I am Your provider, I am Your healer, we know that comes with the power and the declaration of the kingdom of God. We thank You for right now, Father, a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ as we go into Easter, that the Son of God came and died on a cross for us. And we all said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.